Welcome. Hi, this is Winfrey, and I am the co-host of the Don and Win Show with Winfrey and Don Newsome. And tonight we're going to do something different because Don is out at a seminar, so I'm going to do the show myself. And I have no idea what I'm going to do, except that I'm going to start from here, where we're at, and go to there and see where the journey takes us. Just as a bit of introduction, for those of you that are checking in for the first time and haven't heard our show, I experienced...
By the way, Wynn?
Yeah, we on?
Wynn?
Yeah?
Just so you know, I actually been through, if you want somebody to come on with you once in a while, I have some interesting stuff I've been reading in some magazines. Maybe you could go explore these issues.
Are we on the line, Doug?
Yeah. I'm on your show right now.
You're on my show.
Yes, I was just saying, if you want me to come in a half an hour or something, because Don's not here, I'm capable of that.
I'll tell you what.
Just ring. Just go. You know how to whistle. Just go.
Are you going to
listen together, and I'll be there? Okay.
Are you going to listen to the show?
Well, I might, but I have an actual reverend coming over to my house right now.
I just don't know how long
it's going to take him. He and his wife.
If you don't,
and they're longtime friends of mine.
If you don't listen to the show, then if you come in, you're not.
Yeah. No, I'll only come in if I listen.
Yeah.
And I won't come in unless you whistle.
Okay.
You know how to whistle, don't you? There you are.
You can say hello.
Love you, bud.
Okay. You understand that if you don't listen, you're not going to come in knowing where I'm at.
I always say, how can you have any pudding if you don't eat your meat?
How can you have any pudding if you don't eat your meat?
Same thing.
Do you know what dessert spelled backward is?
What dude spelled backward is?
Dessert.
Dessert?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, tesser?
Stressed. Now, here's another one. I was going through these
backwards. Yeah, isn't that desserts with an S?
Desserts, right. Now, here's another one, Doug. You ready for this?
Oh, yeah.
What does live spell backwards?
Lived?
Yeah.
Devved? Devil?
Evil.
Evil. Live. Oh, live. Oh, yeah. Well, you're getting close.
But live.
You're getting close. You're only scaring me a little.
What does lived spell backwards?
Devil.
That's right.
Yeah, that's where I was coming to the first go-around.
Isn't that kind of strange?
You know what's really strange? You want to know some outstanding information? Outstanding information.
What?
And this is just surprising me.
Uh-huh.
You know, here's one I just read in the Nova or Discovery. And it's basically that we're having batteries that are going to be able to store energy, capacitors, it's kind of like putting two steel plates together, and they create an electricity between them, kind of, and then you put foam around it, and that foam around it houses even more of this electrical energy, as you can imagine, and that provides a greater source, and a source that is cleaner. I mean, you can get rid of it immediately. It's not like a battery.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just basically going with the understanding of, instead of batteries, we should have capacitors that are batteries. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And surprisingly enough, I read that. You want to know something else that'll surprise you?
Mm.
And this was something that actually really shocked me. I don't even know what to think of this. German researchers have identified a previously unknown emitter of methane, a potent greenhouse gas, the culprit, ordinary plants. The first hints arrived last year when a European Space Agency's VSAT satellite detected huge clouds of methane above forested areas. Scientists could not understand where the gas came from because they thought methane was produced only in oxygen-poor environments like swamps and rice paddies.
Mm-hmm.
To investigate, a gentleman and his colleagues went out, and they were amazed to see chemical sensors that they put out quickly begin to detect methane. They couldn't figure out what it was initially, because if you look at the old textbooks, they just don't say a thing like this could occur. Then it goes on, turning up heat seems to increase the rate. So if you actually get hotter, turning up the heat seems to increase the rate at which plants produce methane. So here's the killer. As we're getting hotter, plants are emitting more methane, which is making it even hotter. Is that weird?
Now, methane isn't healthy for you, is it?
I don't think methane is a gas.
Hey, well, I don't know.
It's not.
Okay.
So that really shocked me in that, you know, a global warming, is it all... Well, the whole idea of global warming and human people being involved, we got to stop the greenhouse effect, I get the concern.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot more engineering taking place due to the planets lining up.
Mm-hmm.
And the frequency of consciousness raising up, because that comes with an electricity all its own, which is heating up the planet,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Then what they're, you know, raging on about. But anyways, I guess there's this new big thing coming out by Gore and his team, this new video,
mm-hmm.
that just talks about the greenhouse problem, the warming up, the warming climate. And I have this lady who actually said, oh, it's only showing one day in this small little town by Paradise. Will you go with me? And I thought, wow, hard to believe somebody will go to... Sure, I'll go. So I'm going to see what that's all about.
Okay.
What do you think? Is that interesting to discuss? Where does that plane take you? Where does that take you? Want me to throw out another loop? There's lots of them.
Well, it wasn't on my agenda to discuss it, but if you want to talk about it, go ahead.
No. I want to talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Well, I was just prepared to do a talk on matrixes.
On emphasis?
Matrixes, Doc.
Matrixes?
Yeah. And,
Well, then I'm going to let... You know, I think that would be an... I'm going to sit back, take a back seat.
Take a listen.
Take a listen. That's what I plan. I'm going to take a listen to you.
You see, I have one goal in being on this show, and that is that this show should weave a thread that from the time now where we start till the time it finishes, that everyone who's listening might have a little shift in not their intelligence, not their awareness of things, but in their matrix. That wherever your matrix is right now, your matrix might be at a more expanded space by the time we finish. And that's something that I can't actually do. I can only talk. And you can listen, and that if we find points of reference, if we find trigger points, then something might shift during the course of the show. So let's talk about what a matrix actually is, so that you can have a sense of what we're doing, or what we may do. Maybe we won't do it. There's no way of knowing what's going to happen until we finish. But each of us exists as a physical, conscious being. Of course, you know that. That thinks, that feels, that gets horny, that picks their nose, that feels lonely, that feels broke, that feels rich, that goes through this little experience on the human plane. The earth plane. And simultaneously, that means right now, you exist as an energy field in another realm. Now, you may perhaps that's new information. Perhaps you don't know that's true. So, don't believe me. Consider the possibility that you exist as an energy field right now. Because, of course, you can't see your energy field. I can't see your energy field. Now, some people say they can. And in fact, some of the people that are on DBS see energy fields and do readings and are psychic, whatever. So that energy field is involved in a matrix with billions and billions of other energy fields. And the energy field, which is you, is really not sharply defined. It has fuzzy edges. And it's not one size. It's changing sizes all the time. It can be very small. It can be very large. Where is your energy field right now? Well, you can't see it, but one thing is, do you feel compressed? Are you in your mind? Are you thinking about everything? Are you feeling? Where are you? Are you feeling part of the flow of the universe? Are you feeling that every time some new experience comes your way, you immediately change and flow with it? Or are you rigid when a new experience comes, and do you hold within a rigidity and try to fit things that come your way into your rigidness? That would be kind of a rigid energy field. That would be one that didn't flow with things. One that flowed would meet a new experience, and your whole energy field would change completely or significantly based on that new experience. And you are now involved in merging with all the new energy fields. How big can an energy field actually get? Well, as far as I know, there really isn't a limit. The limit is based on your level of, perhaps we could say, evolution. Where are the decisions you've made in all your past lives that bring you to this life, to this moment? Because right now, you are at the end of that string of all those experiences. So where is your matrix right now? Where is mine? And why is this important to look at? Well, one of the things that I've been involved with for the past 6 years is having the opportunity to question very evolved energy fields or beings in other dimensions. And I've had this experience in a couple of ways. One of them, it all started when I began writing the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, which was in the year 2000. And up to that point, although I had a lot of phenomenal experiences, I never, ever, ever dreamed that I would be in communication with beings in other dimensions. And as I was writing the book, 2 years into it, to my surprise, I found out that these beings were paying attention to me because I was writing the book. Now, at first, it seemed pretty crazy. It was hard to believe it was real. I mean, if you imagine yourself going through your life, going through your ordinary life, and doing all your daily functions, and suddenly you have voices speaking to you. In my case, it came two ways. It came through two girlfriends who suddenly started channeling, and dream messages, where I would start writing down my dreams, and it seemed like there was an intelligence that was communicating with me in my dreams. And for a long time, I said, can this be real? What's going on? And then I said, can I trust this? Once I knew it was real, I said, can I trust this? And I had the opportunity, and I still have that opportunity, to ask a multitude and multitude of questions that I got very intelligent answers for. And when you talk about communicating in other dimensions, there's as wide a spectrum of communication in other dimensions as there is in this dimension. And the only difference is, in this dimension, you probably know who you're talking to. If you're talking to a janitor, he looks like a janitor, he comes up from the building, he's a janitor. If he's a cab driver, he's driving a cab. When you're talking to beings in other dimensions, you've got a voice coming through, and they may say who they are, but you can't see them, you can't see their position. So you have to check out who they are through the resonance of the information they give you. and decide if, in fact, they are who they say they are. In fact, I don't know if you could ever ultimately, without a doubt, say they are who they say they are, because unlike the janitor, they're just a voice. Although there are certain experiences that have accompanied, when I say experiences, I mean experiences in the physical realm, things that happened in the physical realm that seemed to validate that maybe they were who they said they were. And so I'll share it with you, and I'm not telling you to believe it. I'm telling you just to consider it, and I can share some of the experiences, because they are part of the matrix we're talking about. When we talk about you and me, there's also this matrix, which is you and I, and then there's these energetic beings or entities which we have affiliations with and can merge with our matrix. There's also beings on the physical level that can merge with our matrix. I remember years ago, somebody was living in a spiritual commune, and they would all have dreams together, and they would verify in the morning that they all had the same dream, or many of them had the same dream, and they were in each other's dreams, having the same dream. Now, I can't say that I've ever had that experience or remembered it, but I did believe they were having it. And so there's huge phenomena that, if we're open to the possibility of it, we might have an experience. So really, the first step in any of this is having your mind be open to the possibility, not to believe it, not to desire it, but to be open to the possibility. And I think another thing is to have the idea that not to desire these experiences so you have some kind of phenomena, but have them, if they come your way, realize that it's something to be used for your own evolution and the evolution of people around you. There has to be some way of taking the experiences and converting it into the physical world, into the physical reality, where it makes a difference. Otherwise, what good is it? And the third thing is, of course, just like in the physical realm, not every person is who they seem to be, and there could be called tricksters or con people. So this is true in other realms also. So any experience takes a lot of scrutiny and validation to find out who is really communicating with you, and do you trust them? And, of course, that goes across the board all the way from all realms, from other realms into this realm. Who's speaking, and do you trust them? And can you have an affiliation with that person, without, or that being, or that entity, or that energy, without getting burned? And, of course, if you approach it with fear, then you'll resist all relationships. So sometimes you have to get burned, and that's part of learning discernment, so you can tell the difference between what it might be positive and what might be negative. So here's how it works. According to my intuitive levels, questions that I've asked, and of course reading many other people that validate, cross-reference this, we exist in a realm of time, and time is an illusion. There is no time. So, as much as it is an illusion, for those of us in this dimension, it certainly doesn't feel like an illusion. And the part of us that's in this dimension, which is contracted into this dimension, which is, of course, our bodies, our minds, our emotions, are all trapped in time. And there are many levels at where time moves at different speeds. And our invisible parts exist in those levels. And those levels all go all the way to what many spiritual people have called the eternal now, where time doesn't exist. And so right now, we are in the eternal now, as simultaneously with being trapped in the third dimension, in the third dimensional timeline. except we have a veil. We have a blockage that keeps us from directly experiencing those other timelines. Now, we can experience them indirectly, and the way we indirectly experience them is through intuitive flashes, through dreams, and through what you could call communion. And communion is where your matrix or your energy that's in the other realms combines with someone else's energy in the other realms, or perhaps a whole group of energies in the other realms. And when that happens, time moves at a different rate. Your experience of time moves at a different rate than when you're all isolated in your own matrix. And everyone knows this experience. When you go to a movie, and it's a wonderful movie, and everyone's uplifted, part of everyone's soul intertwined momentarily during that movie. Before you know it, 2 hours went by, and it seemed like nothing. Anytime you're having a joyful experience, I think anytime, I have to think if I can say every time, but I think most times you're having a joyful experience. You're involved in the melding of your energies, of your matrix, with other beings. And that downloads into the physical as a different personal experience of time. Because, in fact, you are existing more in the matrix part of yourself, which is in another timeline than this one. Now, in these other timelines, there are group energies. And they've defined themselves to me as group souls, or social memory complexes. And we go through many, many lifetimes, and at the very highest of all our lifetimes, we would end up as part of a group soul. And a group soul exists in other dimensions and not in the third dimension as pure energy, and it's a conglomeration of millions and billions of individual souls that at one time or another have gone through physical life, like ours, and have evolved to the point where they no longer have bodies. And group souls act on behalf of planetary populations at lower levels of evolution. And they are there to help and assist these planetary populations in their own growth. And so it's been my experience and how these voices have identified themselves that I have been in communication with are the group souls that are the major oversouls for our planet. Now, of course, again, this is just a voice coming through somebody or a sentence written down on a pad. So it's not like you meet a president and you know he's a president because you saw him on TV, or you meet a janitor who comes out of his building, or you take a taxi cab ride. So you've got to say, are they really group souls? Are they telling me the truth? Is somebody making this up? How do I know that this is true? Well, in my case, I'm very scrutinizing. I used to be a physics major years ago, and I resolved not to accept anything just because somebody said it. So I have taken all my experiences over the past 6 years, and I've seen a tremendous consistency. Consistency in the information, in the attitude, and the intent. And my first experience of the word group soul, or my first exposure, was as I was writing the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And, of course, that would be David Wilcock. And David was involved in this process called channeling and was bringing forth messages from what he called, defined itself as a group soul, who had the name Ra. And this group soul had a history where they had spoken through other people. And one of them was Carla Ruckert. And there was an amazing correlation, which if you read the book, you'll get it. I'm not going to go into all the detail, where the Carla Ruckert channelings of Ra, which were in 1981, had a reference to Edgar Casey and David Wilcock. And Carla Ruckert, of course, they never actually, within the reference, it was kind of hidden. You had to discover it because it wasn't explicit. And in studying and writing this book, I said, my God, there's a very clear reference that could not be a mistake. And it was one clue for me to indicate that this group soul was, in fact, a real entity. And, of course, they were talking through David Wilcock, and they were giving David a huge amount of wisdom and advice and counsel and predictions for the future, and they were explaining how they operate and how to connect with them. And, of course, I'm studying this, and again, I'm not believing anything blindly. I'm saying, could this be real? Could this, obviously the messages were far beyond David's ability in his own conscious mind to come through with. And they had to be coming from somewhere. And was this the real correct explanation? So I said to myself, well, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I'll just leave my mind open and keep seeing what happens. And in the course of all of this, this group soul was going through an explanation at a cosmic level as to what was happening on our planet. And they called it a dimensional shift. And they also said that they played a large part in helping humanity. That they, as an energy matrix, could blend with you as an energy matrix. If you intended to connect with them, and your intention was strong enough, they would connect with you. And, of course, as I was writing the book, when I first started writing it, I had no experience of feeling a personal connection with them. I felt a connection with their words, and I felt a certain energy when I read their words, but I didn't know that they were actually looking at me while I was writing the book, and which is now my experience, is how it was actually occurring. So they were going through extensive explanations of how a person could reach beyond their own matrix, their own physical matrix, and experience this expansion of their matrix into these other realms where you could connect not only with other beings, and of course there's a multitude of beings in other realms, but you could actually connect with them. And they said it was their function and their job to be available to connect with people and to help people energetically. And they described themselves in this way, and they said this in one of the readings to David: we applaud your efforts and we shake your hand in the higher realms, or that which you would then conceive of as a hand, but which is more likely an energetic progression from an amoeba-like bodily form of energy. But you understand the point. So, they're describing themselves as a field of energy in other dimensions, maybe spreading through our entire solar system, maybe spreading through our galaxy. And that field of energy can feel your energy and can move into your energy and can meld with it. Of course, if you're going to invite something to meld with your energy, you should really, really study it. Find out, do you really want this? Do you trust it? Are they what they say they are? And those are very important qualifications. And it's one reason particularly to read the book, because the book introduces them. And there is a little paragraph in the book where they explain how to connect with them. And I thought I'd share that paragraph, since we're talking about expanding one's matrix. And as I read this, some of you might have an experience, might feel something shift in your own energy field. And you may consider the possibility that, in fact, is this Ra group soul connecting with you? So here we go. In order to receive messages from our domain, you are required to make personal great sacrifices, including the desire for personal gain. Okay, I'm just going to make comments as I read this. You can do this, but they're not going to come in if you suddenly want to create a sideshow or do, you know, you're going to use this in some personal aggrandizement way. They are existing to lift the consciousness of the planet, and they're saying they will work with you, but you have to use this energy to uplift things from your own place. The much greater gain comes from the rewarding of your desire to be of service. And this is a spiritual one, as well as those more physical. All of you are capable of doing this. The real question is, how much do you want it? Okay, there we go. Let's read that again. All of you are capable of doing this. All. They don't say some, they say all. That means you who are listening are capable of connecting with them. The real question is, how much do you want it? Do you want it? Do you want to connect with a higher interdimensional source? Well, you may not know that if you want it or not, so don't feel that because I'm saying it, you should want it. I'm just telling you their criteria. I think the answer is for you to begin to believe in yourself. Begin to believe in your own dreams as solid guidance. You who read these words are learning how to use this metaphorical language because of how repetitively we phrase our sentences in this phraseology. And so, as the batter steps up to the plate and prepares himself or herself accordingly, we will then make the pitch at the appropriate time. Not all of you will be able to swing and hit the ball, but we do certainly hope that more and more of you will be able to connect and indeed send this information packet to the ethers so that it may be transformed and sent back to you as a unified source of light and love vibration. Okay, now this is Wynn commenting. They're talking about we send information packets up to the ethers so it can be transformed and sent back down. When we have received this energy, this is them speaking, we can then transform it into a much more viable source and send it back down to you as living information. This information will enter your mind as natural thoughts and feelings. And thus, when you harmonize with us, you should fully expect that all the messages and information will be going through your mind as though they were your own thoughts, ideas, and impressions. That is the fundamental key to this process. You are not going to have a force suddenly come in and seize control of you. Rather, it is a far more subtle process, whereby you realize exactly how to listen to the voice of your imagination and intuition, which by then has become a moment-to-moment source of living light. Well, that's interesting. They're not going to communicate to us necessarily like two people having a chat over coffee. You can send energy up to them, and they can send light back to you. Can Can that really happen? Is that real? That's a pretty awesome experience if it does. Well, when I was first writing the book, I would read these channelings with my friend when we were going to bed out loud. She was helping me edit the book. And while we would read the channelings, the room would be flooded in this light energy. And we could both feel it and sense it. And at first, I didn't realize that that was them. But I've come to realize now, at least to the best of my own ability, that that was them. And that they can extend into this realm as a light energy. And they're very, very much paying attention to our entire realm. In one of the questions that I've asked, they were described as a group of billions of souls that once had physical bodies like us, at one point on the planet Venus, and had evolved for millions of years up the ladder of evolution, and were very close to all that is, to oneness. And so, as we reach for them, they can feel that intention and move into our space. So, now we're expanding our matrix into another field. And really, it's just an expansion of oneness, because we become one with them, and they become one with us. And so it's not like the dialogue part of it is on the edges, and the oneness is in the middle. Well, remember I said that I was having these conversations with my girlfriends, and interestingly enough, this didn't happen because I looked for it. It happened very spontaneously. And the voice that came through identified itself as the Council of Elohim. Not Ra, but the Elohim. And when this first happened, I looked up the word Elohim on the internet. And it said, the God of the Old Testament. The group that was talking to Joseph Smith when he started the Mormon Church. The creator God of this realm. And I asked them, is this the same Elohim? And they said, it was. And I said, why me? And they said, you're a cosmic midwife and you know how to bring this stuff out into the world. Well, let me say that I didn't know I could believe them. That was true. I didn't know I could believe who I was talking to. I did know that I was having miracles. I knew that I would ask them something and something would change on the physical. You can look up my website, Conversations with My Girlfriend, where I told the whole story of how this happened. And they definitely were wise, and they were definitely phenomenal. They definitely could have a certain amount of ability to predict the future. And I was given the opportunity to ask any question I could think of, and I did. And I got all these answers. I got answers about some of my past lifetimes. I got answers I was asking questions about the book I was writing, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and I was getting exactly the same answers from the Elohim as were in the book. Now, quite frankly, let me say that I had learned to trust the Ra energy. And I studied the Ra channelings of David Wilcock very extensively. And I had a great resonance with it. And when this new voice came in, I wasn't sure I could trust it. I wasn't sure if I was going to be derailed or sidetracked. And I couldn't even talk about it because it was so far out, it would be damage my credibility to suddenly say I was writing this book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and then suddenly I have a girlfriend that keeps interrupting me, whatever else we're doing, and saying, those guys want to talk to you again. But she left me, and then I saw my other old girlfriend, and they started coming through her. And So this is a pretty phenomenal experience. It was filled with phenomenal events, which are still going on, by the way. And so the Elohim also say that they are connected with us and that they can reach and connect individually with people and that they are involved in the evolution of our planet. And in fact, these two group souls work together. Now, of course, my curiosity and my questioning, I asked many, many questions to try to figure out how do they work and how do they, what's the difference between them. And to give some idea of it, the Elohim were here as part of the original creation of this realm. And Ra came up through the ranks. It was a group soul that developed as a result of evolution of individual souls like you and me over millions of years. And both group souls have had numerous individual members of their souls incarnate or take on bodies on this planet. And what happens when these souls take on bodies, they end up forgetting that they're part of a group soul. They end up forgetting that they're in a high state of evolution. And they get lost in this realm. And they forget everything until something comes that reminds them and their intuitions kind of click on and they say, that's it. Perhaps some of you who are listening tonight are members of one of those group souls and something in you is clicking and say, that's me, yes. Because those that have come into this realm seem to get lost over many, 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 many lifetimes. Because something in the realm has to reflect back your original cause and purpose. Otherwise, you get stuck in a reality system, which there's a multitude of reality systems down here, and within that reality system, you become trapped in a lower level of matrix and go perhaps sometimes many, 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 many lifetimes in that lower level of matrix until something snaps you out of it. So these two group souls are paying attention to us, and they are connecting with those who reach and ask for them. And some people have more of an affinity for one, perhaps because you're a member of that group soul who's here, and others have more of an affinity for the other. And they describe their difference. The Elohim is more angelic. Ra group is more spiritual warrior. The Elohim is more creative, feminine, but feminine outside of duality. And the Ra group is more masculine, still outside of duality. And they are teamed up as part of creation. Now, interestingly enough, I have to ask so many questions. And let me see. They talk about how at one time, the Elohim in some of my questions and answers said, at one time there were individual spirit forms which were all connected to the whole, and they could intend something to happen, and it would happen. And as soon as they stopped intending it, it would stop happening. And so then another spirit form would look at the hologram that the first spirit form created and wanted to possess it. And in the possessing of another's hologram, it started to cause the hologram to endure. And then the person had to maintain the possession of it to make sure someone else didn't take it back. And through this interaction of possessing these holograms, the persistence of reality started, and the original fall from the higher realms began as everyone got caught up in possession. And of course, this is making something simple that has been going on for billions upon billions of years, and this idea of possession and control has become the nature of the reality that we're stuck in right at this moment. Now, there's this thing going on in the world where we can get the help of these group souls, but they don't violate free will. So, in order to get their help, we have to call on them. Now, we can call on them, we don't have to know it's Ra, the Elohim, we can just call on God, and that's close enough. But they read our intent, and our planet's going through something called the dimensional shift, and there's a lot of forces, as listeners to Blog In already know, that are attempting to create fear on this planet. And if you go into fear, you will block your energy from reaching high enough to these group souls. So I would say one of the best hopes mankind has, because this is something that's attainable, we can't fight the negative forces, they're too strong and they're too powerful, but we can intend to connect with these higher forces and get them on our side. And they already are on our side. We just have to invoke them. And for example, here is something from the Ra group and how they explained it. Our staff is standing by to assist you, and our presence will not forever remain in the shadow. When the time is appropriate and the help is then truly needed, the free will clause will allow us to make our requested appearance. We are completely ready to fulfill this obligation at a moment's notice due to the uncertainties you are now faced with. Remember that. The true knowledge to one of your minds regarding how much we are capable of doing to avert world catastrophe would seem utterly overwhelming, since the neurological capacity of the third density mind is but a droplet in the ocean of consciousness that we are working with. Each mind, anywhere in the world, either incarnate or discarnate, and at all levels of density, can be studied and analyzed with regards to the collective mind. And as we advance forward in time along various timelines, the consequences of any of these subtle actions can be seen, much like a fractal function or quantum hologram. Hence, by our vast team efforts, we are capable of analyzing your grand chessboard and figuring out what pieces go where at what time, and seeing how the different entities involved all contribute to the final outcome. In this way, then, if an event is not in the interests of all involved, the law of free will allows us to intervene in the lives of entities, often in crucial but unexpected points in the chain of causation, in order to offset such an event. These interventions can follow a gradient from the remarkably subtle to the relentlessly blatant at times. And here is the key statement. The more that humanity as a whole strives for wisdom and understanding of the truth of love, the more interventions we are authorized to perform. So, they are real. They are here right now. I know they're paying attention to me, and they're paying attention to you, and so are the Elohim. And some of you that are listening notice the shift in the energy from the time we started to right now. And if you notice that shift is connected with those group souls. And I believe that through this information, we are getting a more comprehensive understanding of who God is and how God works in terms of this delegation through these group energies. And the excerpt I just read was from the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And if you haven't read the book, it'll make this very real for you. You go to my website at caycesback.com, CAYCESBACK.com. I have a number of New Thought ministers that have endorsed the book, and probably this is the book that is the most validatable explanation for this dimensional shift, for what Jesus meant by ascension, that's out there on the market. And it has loads of very practical advice and wisdom on how to evolve and cope through this period we're in. And I do a conference call every Monday night, and I have some people who volunteer to do calls on Tuesday and Friday, where we read these channelings from these sources. And if you felt any resonance at all about what I've read, you might enjoy the conference calls, because it's one way of petitioning them to support us. And you can email me at winfree@yahoo.com or win@bloginservice.com. You can find my email and just make the request, and I'll send you the access number for the call. And I think we're pretty close to coming to the end of time. And of course, I didn't put Doug on, but he was on at the beginning and read those articles. And thank you, Doug, if you're listening, for letting me go through all this. I kind of got into my zone and just completed it. And we close tonight with what I call calling in the light. It's this invocation where, for those that are open, we can have an experience in the moment of expanding our matrix even further and connecting with these group souls who have announced themselves to us in present time. So, Father, Mother, God, I ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect myself and every person listening right now, and that any negativity be taken and lifted to the higher realms of light and dispersed for the highest good of all concerned. I ask that each person that's open to having this experience might right now feel this light energy that is radiating from the galactic center, moving through their body, starting at the top of their head, moving through their energy system, through their chakras, and through their feet, and grounded into the earth. We send this light to our environment, to those we care about, to our home. We ask that we can experience this uplifted energy in our space. We ask for the support and help of those service to other group souls who are involved in the evolution of our planet. We ask that our planet can receive the protection of these energies, that we can surround the entire planet right now, each of us radiating love through our beings, through each other as a group, and to whatever ability we have to participate in strengthening this energy field of our planet, that we volunteer our efforts right at this moment. And we can send this light also to those that we care about, those in need of healing, those in need of transformation, and to ourselves for our own deeds. And next week, we will be on again with the Don and Wynn Show. My name is Wynn Free, and I thank you very much for listening. And I urge you once again, please read my book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, if any of this show has connected with you. And Doug, are you on the line, ready to take over? Hello, Doug. Well, Doug is not back. So I guess I am,
and I love you, buddy, and you had a fabulous show. Have you wrapped it up, or should I wrap it up?
Well, I said goodbye, but we're wrapping it up. Do whatever you want.
I love you, buddy. I'm going to let you go and get on the other show.
Okay, well, thank you for being engineer, and thank you for sharing the news at the beginning.
You're welcome, Wynn.
And you have a beautiful evening.
And you have a wonderful Friday, and enjoy the weekend.
And happy Labor Day. Happy Memorial Day, everybody.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.